Morning. That was a perfect lead-in to my talk. There are a lot of questions around planned home birth in North America. The trends, as Marian said, are changing rapidly, and as are the ideas and opinions of maternity care providers. So I'm going to tell you about a national study that we did in Canada. It is very relevant to the U.S. as well, and it, in fact, is based on some work I did in the U.S., which I'll tell you about. So just to give you a little context of what we're talking about, I'm sorry, I picked those colors and didn't realize how hard they would be to see, but I'll read them for you if you can't see. all midwives offer choice of birthplace in Canada and attend birth in all available settings. They're in fact required to do so by regulation. They have to do home and hospital. They can't just do just one. And continuity of care and a minimum number of home and hospital births are built into the recertification regulation. In Canada, like in the U.S., most physicians only attend births in the hospital. That didn't used to be the case. It's a system where family doctors look after most of the population and do most of the primary care, and they used to attend at home as well, but not recently. And part of that was through regulatory restrictions that existed in some provinces where they said that family physicians not only couldn't attend home births, but they couldn't even recommend or refer someone to home birth. And that didn't change really until a year or two ago, where after 2009, when we had some Canadian studies that were published really looking at the model of midwifery care and planned home birth as opposed to unplanned home birth, BC College of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the regulatory board in British Columbia, and the one in Ontario, both completely reversed their stance and not only said that family physicians could attend home births, but they recommend that they get education about how to attend birth, how to attend safely in the home from midwives. So that's just the context. Now, you'd think that means that in Canada, you know, home birth is common and it's well supported, but things don't change that fast. There are only about less than 2% of all Canadian births are at home. There's significant variation across jurisdiction and access to midwifery care, and unless you can access midwifery care, you can't access choice of birthplace. Quebec is an anomaly. They're the only province that have birth centers, and there, the midwives mostly practice in the birth center, sometimes come in the home into the hospital but have their own rooms there and not well integrated into the hospital setting. The rest of Canada, where they have regulated midwifery, midwives are integrated across birth settings. So why study attitudes? We do have quite a lot of data from in other related fields to say that provider attitudes impact care options and influence women's choices, and also that providers' opinions can, what they offer usually lines up with when they graduated from medical school. So not even the evolving, but for example, the most common predictor, the best predictor of what medicine you might be given for hypertension or to prevent myocardial infarction is the year that your physician graduated from medical school. So we know with breastfeeding, duration, initiation, success with breastfeeding has to do with not only the provider's opinion and their level of education, but their own personal experience with breastfeeding. This has been looked at again and again in all kinds of medical fields, and certainly it's not unique to maternity care. So there's been a little bit of previous research around this area in North America. Dr. Michael Klein and a large team looked at overall maternity care practices, not about place of birth. It was only a single question on his survey, but he did look at interventions, attitude to interventions, whether or not women should be induced, what physiologic birth looks like, and there was a lot of conflict and confusion across maternity care providers and the messaging that was happening to women in result. This is the single question that he found. that when they were asked, home birth is more dangerous than hospital birth, even in an uncomplicated pregnancy, you can see there was disparate attitudes. So the red are the obstetricians, the blue is family physicians, the pink are doulas, and the yellow are registered midwives. They're on the opposite sides. And this was, you know, it was a large data set, so, and national. So that was just on that single question. So we wanted to ask the team, I should say that this study was done, I was a PI, but there was we had a really wonderful multidisciplinary team of co-investigators and research associates. One of them is sitting in the audience, Laura Schumers. And we had obstetricians, we had an obstetrician, family physician, sociologist, psychologist, really trying to get the whole system to look at this and ask the right questions. We looked at the literature and we had lots of suggestions that any one of these factors might have something to do with it. And of course our expert panels told us the same. So we decided to create and then one other study I'll tell you that informed us, and that was a study that I did for just a single provider group, and that was U.S. Certified Nurse Midwives, Attitudes to Home Birth, and in that study we found that exposure and education led to favorable attitudes, and financial factors and fear of liability led to unfavorable attitudes. So that had something to do with how we put it. We put together the birthplace study, and we created a survey as well as focus group questions. We wanted to do a mixed method study, do it national, do it in rural as well as urban settings, and look at factors that were associated with attitudes towards home birth. We did look at four attitude subdomains. We knew that it probably had something to do with ideas about safety, also about maternal newborn outcomes, the benefits of physiologic birth or home birth, and then we guessed that their own professional experiences with home birth, even if they didn't attend home birth, they had interaction with transfer, might affect their attitudes. So our recruitment period was in 2011. We invited all Canadian registered midwives and all obstetricians and gynecologists who provide maternity care to join, and we did a random sample of family physicians, in part because it was quite a hard population to study in Canada. There are no real listservs and ways to contact them. The single one we had, we were able to get a random sample from, and then it was 10% of all family physicians. So a total of 825 care providers responded to the survey with an overall response rate of 18%. And we have reported the descriptive data from this in a publication last year. The basic items that were interesting and that helped inform our next phase, which was the development of a scale and focus groups, were that, in fact, there were significant diversions on beliefs on safety and the evidence in comfort with counseling patients when they were considering different birth site options. They were concerned about the effects of their peer relationships if they were engaged, and this was across all provider groups, midwives and physicians. And the exposure to planned home birth appeared, and midwifery care actually, appeared to affect their attitudes. And then there was a real wide divergence as far as between midwives and physicians about what planned home birth really means, as far as what equipment do you carry, what kind of skills are basic and required and available, and how does screening happen. So we went through a detailed process to create a scale. For those of you who don't know how that's done, you take, we had these items. We had demographic and practice experience items. So where do you practice? How many people are in your practice? You know, when did you graduate from medical school or midwifery school? Where did you learn? All those things. But then we had a bunch of questions that were attitude questions, positive and negative, that they had to agree on a Likert scale to. So home birth is never as safe as hospital birth, or resuscitation is easier to do in the hospital, or bonding is better at home, or you know, a variety of things, and we tried to balance the positive and negative. And then we went through this wonderful process of creating what's called factor analysis, factor loading, where you see how the responses cluster. And it's a complex process, but basically it helps you understand what you're measuring. Is it telling the story of one factor, or is it a number? Are there a number of things going on here? And in fact, in our study, we had everything really grouped together very nicely. People who tended to answer the attitude items in the same way, those items, they were consistent, the ones that were positive or negative. And it seemed that we were, in fact, measuring this idea of attitudes towards home birth, favorability towards home birth. And that's measured with a statistical analysis where you report the Cronbach's alpha. Some of you may be familiar with that. Our alpha was 0.9%, and above 0.7 is considered acceptable. So here you have the item to factor total correlation. So how closely these individual items. Their factor loadings, and it's probably small for you to see, but I'll just read you a couple of some of the items so you understand. RMs, registered midwives have sufficient skills to handle most emergencies safely at planned home birth. There is scientific evidence that it supports the greater safety of hospital births compared to planned home births. It worries me when people I care about decide to have a planned home birth. Because of the risk of PPH, home birth is not an ideal birth setting. I would consider having my own or my partner's planned home birth with an RM. I am more comfortable providing intrapartum care in the hospital because of the personnel and equipment. A move towards planned home birth in this country would save our health system a significant amount of money. So what we did was when we reverse scored them, if it was a negative statement and everything, then directionally we could say if we reverse scored it, then if you had a higher score, you were more favorable, basically. And so we created this scale. All these items, what that means is these items, when they hang together in a multidisciplinary context, can measure, as an outcome measure, the overall favorability of a group. So that's the provider attitudes towards planned home birth scale, multidisciplinary. We then entered this scale. We took four blocks of the questions that did not fall into the scale, so the non-attitude items in the socio-demographic, education, practice, and external barrier factors, and we tried to see what the associations and predictors were. What we did logistic regression analysis using the scale as an outcome measure. And so this is the first thing that we found, which isn't a big surprise, but certainly shows that scale scores for midwives are the ones on the left. Family physicians are the one in the middle, and obstetricians are the one on the right. The line in the middle is the neutral, so above the line you're favorable, below the line you're unfavorable. That's the rough way of explaining it. And you can see that the boxes, these box plots show that there are some certainly obstetricians even who are above the line, and those small circles represent clusters of individual obstetricians, but the bulk of them are well below the line, and you see their median as well. You have the family physicians where they have a much wider spread of attitudes than either of the other groups, and the midwives were so homogeneous in their attitudes that it was almost hard to do a regression. We actually had to then, recode, dummy code it, and so that we had physicians and midwives, because you couldn't say that much about what affected midwives in registered midwives, where I could say a lot with certified nurse midwives because there was a widespread. So, and these are just to give you a little bit of that. So when you had individual factors, I'll talk to you about the logistic regression shortly, but when you had individual factors, the kind of things that increased favorability were younger midwives, if they had their own children home. It's hard to know. That's an association. It's hard to know, were they more favorable than they chose, or did that change their minds? If they had more home births as students or as observers, if they had actually been present, even in a non-clinical role, if they were just an observer. If they worked in a community where they were obstetricians that practiced, had higher level of care, had colleagues, Internationally educated midwives, not so favorable. And midwives who said, oh, well, women don't ask me for they're really not that interested in my community. They also, now mind you, they said that, but they scored on all these other, that had nothing to do with women's choice, all these other things about their overall favorability. So there's something going on there about informed choice. And then beliefs about the evidence on safety and the state of the science were cut across all groups. So higher scores for family physicians also were similar, education and who they practice with. I'm going to flip through these fairly quickly because I want to get to the regression, but higher scores for obstetricians were women, so gender, it was gender associated, OBs with a graduate degree, and that was true for anybody with a graduate degree, had more favorable attitudes. Again, if they had worked alongside midwives, if they had any exposure, and especially exposure during education. So the correlations that we saw is that people who were strongly attitudes, people who had higher scores, believed that the bonding was better at home, that individualization of care was home, that there was this empowering feature, and that there were those who believed that there were evidence-based criteria to help screening. And believe that physicians and we asked physicians about physicians and midwives about midwives, so the surveys were very similar but slightly different. And if they believed that they had the skills to handle emergencies, they were more favorable. So then we went into our linear regression modeling. Again, 85% of the variation in attitudes was predicted by provider type alone. And that's big. That's about acculturation, right? That's how we are socialized. So then we're just now in the focus group analyzing. We've done a number of focus groups all around the country. We went through I've actually been to 15 different hospitals now. But these preliminary findings, as I finish here, are just quite interesting. That RMs feel more autonomous in the home, they feel they can provide women-centered care better at home, but OBs and family physicians feel like they provide women-centered care, and women-centered care is about safety and risk. OBs have no problem with their level of autonomy. RMs say that bad outcomes at home are interpreted differently than bad outcomes at the hospital. Family physicians say home birth is safe for low-risk women, and too much emphasis is placed on the woman's experience at home birth. They don't know a lot about how transfer guidelines and midwifery competencies, and that's not surprising since they don't really get involved in transfer. That goes through the obstetric system. OBs say birth is risky, home birth is not safe. RMs are concerned about their peer opinion, even though they're on the staff, they're integrated. They say the NICU people, if they had to come in, they'd be like, what'd you do? And OBs feel that they ultimately the responsibility rests with them, because I have more skills than midwives, they're never taking all of that risk, right? The buck stops with me. And the family physician said, it's all about being received with respect. So OBs felt that they had to ensure the safety of mother and baby, that it was up to them and not to the women, and not necessarily, certainly not to the midwives. They didn't have a sort of a loss in trust in the midwives' clinical judgment. Some midwives rejected some midwife clients, when they rejected the standard of care in the community, felt that it was challenging when clients make decisions to do things that are perceived as outside the medical standard, even if they're evidence-based. So, and then, of course, this is all about interprofessional relationships, that when people learn together, train together, drill together, their knowledge of each other's language and procedure becomes almost intimate. So, and then the last set was around home birth education. Yeah, it's the unexploded bomb theory of pregnancy. So that's what medical school teaches. This is what the physicians are saying about their own medical school. And so a lot of them felt themselves that misperceptions need to be addressed during education. So the nature of personal relationships set the tone. That was, if they had a personal relationship where they liked the midwife or they liked the OB, then that culture of practice was really different. Educational exposure absolutely affected attitudes to place of birth, both in our quantitative and on our qualitative phases. The visibility of optimal versus poor outcomes affected favorability. Guardianship of normal birth and women's center care interpreted were implemented differently. Perception of autonomy was linked to place of birth. And the satisfaction with their roles and their autonomy was linked to how comfortable they were with how it existed now. They wanted it to change. They wanted. They felt that if they felt, oh well, I'm you know supposed to only do low risk, and the OBs can take care of everything else, and they were fine with that. So that's my last slide. That basically it leads us to be thinking carefully about how we acculturate our learners first. That we need mentorship. It was clear that those clinicians who had mentors who were home birth providers were more favorable. That we need enhanced curriculum content, not just on home birth, but on physiologic birth, on cost effectiveness, on interprofessional communication. We need guidelines for collaboration during transfer, and we need models that increase integration of care across birth sites, so exposure to each other. So that's it.
Thank you.